On a Monday, it is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The Marijuana Policy Project, it calls Wisconsin stubbornly behind the times, one of 19 states that hasn't decriminalized simple possession of cannabis, one of 13 with no medical marijuana law. Join in on the future of marijuana policy as you see it in Wisconsin, what direction you want state lawmakers to go. 800-642-1234. Lee Hanna is an associate professor of political science at Wright State University, writing a book about the rise of legal marijuana in the U.S. Lee, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you for having me, Kate.
Good morning. As you see it, you know, Democratic Governor Evers has proposed legalizing marijuana for medical and recreational use as part of last year's state budget. Our Republican-controlled legislature rejected that, stripped that out of the budget. How do you see Democrats and Republicans debating legalization across the land in other states?
Yes. So one thing that has made Wisconsin quite unique is, as Marijuana Policy Project put it, they really are a laggard in this issue. If you look at the general politics of the state, if you look at something like, you know, the Democratic vote share in presidential elections, or even the fact that there's a Democratic governor, you know, Wisconsin kind of stands out along with some of the most conservative states in the Southeast, and then a few states that are still, not moving forward on marijuana reform in the Midwest. But it really does kind of stick out if you look at the politics. As we look across the country at states that have adopted medical programs or adult use slash recreational programs, one of the most important ways that the conversation has really been started in states, and that the agenda has kind of moved to dealing with marijuana policy, has been through the popular initiative. I'm talking to you from Ohio. In 2016, our state legislature, with a Republican trifecta, took up medical marijuana and passed a bill that's actually been pretty effective. But they mainly did that because there was a threat that an initiative was going to be on the ballot in 2016. And a lot of Republicans didn't really want to go up on a ballot with a popular medical marijuana bill as well. And so they got to moving very quickly to get something passed. And that's one thing that we don't see in Wisconsin, is that there's, I know that you have like advisory initiatives, but there's not as much, there aren't as many mechanisms in place for citizens to take action and directly affect legislation like they can in several of these states that do have medical or recreational cannabis.
Oh, that's interesting, because as you've been talking about, statewide ballot initiatives legalizing marijuana in other states, like Michigan, for instance, our neighbor, what do you think of that pressure of voter-approved initiatives versus adopting a legalization program, whether it's medical or recreational, through the legislative process?
Yes. So, you know, at least in Ohio, the argument was that the legislators would want to have more control over the policy. And so they could have their committees, they could, bring in expert witnesses and have testimony and write it up in a way. Now, of course, they're leaning on other states to kind of learn from their experiences, but write it up in a way to where they thought they had kind of maximum control, where organizations like Marijuana Policy Project or Americans for Safe Access, they will certainly dialogue with state legislatures, but they also have kind of their ideal legislation that they're going to be pushing for as well. Mm. And if they can get that verbatim on a ballot, that can be pretty powerful. So there is some negotiation, but we've seen in several states, especially with some of the early adoptions. And I mean, you can go back to 1996 with California. In many cases, you had a citizenry ready for medical cannabis, and recreational doesn't come on until 2012. And the legislators were still afraid to touch it, just because of the stigma and all of the associations that kind of come with marijuana policy at times. And so in those cases, the ballot initiative is what the law is actually based upon, rather than legislators acting because they were worried about a ballot initiative.
And meanwhile, the public opinion is evolving, and you see that mm-hmm. through polling. Our recent Marquette University Law School poll says public support for legalizing of marijuana, it's growing here in Wisconsin. It was they took the pulse on it last in February, earlier this year. So 61% of people said they favor legalization. How is public opinion influencing what other states take on with legalization?
Yes, well, I definitely think it's happening in two ways. So certainly for kind of liberals who are, you know, more likely to support these policies kind of, you know, at the start, it gives them more, more evidence that they're kind of in line with majority opinion. So it allows them to maybe push more because, you know, there's two things when we think about being an elected leader. One is that, that you vote on popular policy and that you push popular policy, you know, in a way to get reelected. And so the extent that they're, you know, not too far out in front of the public is helpful. And so I think we've seen, you know, Democrats kind of universally come on board. It's been a major part of language in the 2016 and 2020 national party platforms. Republicans have been more, more averse to take this on, but certainly it is adding pressure as well, either when it's framed kind of from a revenue point of view, or if it's if you just kind of keep it in kind of the medical space rather than the adult use, that can also be pretty popular, especially if you're putting in front of this movement people who need medical cannabis the most, which is often families with children with epilepsy. It's veterans coming back from the global wars on terror with PTSD and other injuries. When you start to put those recipients of this program front and center, that has also been a way that we've seen more Republicans get on board.
Talking about marijuana legalization with Lee Hanna, political scientist who studies it from Wright State University. You can join in on where policy you think is headed in Wisconsin, 800-642-1234. I know you've said over time the medical marijuana discussion has really grown to include more groups of people battling ailments like cancer, as you mentioned, and epilepsy, veterans. How do you think that has affected attitudes and ultimately laws on the books for medical marijuana programs?
Yes, one thing that we've seen in some of these states that have adopted recently is that they do have almost kind of a poster child of the movement, that's helping to move it forward. In West Virginia, it was a cancer patient who's still been a really active advocate kind of within their legislature. They passed in 2017. In Pennsylvania, it was actually a Republican leader who had his own story of recovering from cancer and going to New Jersey to get medical cannabis because it was so effective in his treatment. And so I do think that some of those types of stories can maybe even be more powerful than some of the broader evidence of, the success of the policy or, what the medical research is showing or something along those lines. And so that's certainly been a way that we've seen this policy slowly advance. And then also in state politics, we talk about this idea of policy diffusion, how a policy spreads across the country. And one thing you notice is that when a state like Kansas is debating medical cannabis and they don't have a policy yet, it's a lot easier for a Republican legislator to say, oh, look at this nice conservative state like Ohio and West Virginia. They have it and it's, the sky hasn't fallen. So, you can kind of use that where if you look at the early adopters, it was all kind of your most liberal states. It was the Northeast and the West Coast. And so as it's kind of spread across the country, I think that kind of adds some kind of subliminal pressure that this policy isn't just for liberal states or conservative states, but, has some more broad appeal.
Well, let's bring on a caller now. Lori is joining us from Shawano. Hi, Lori. Go ahead.
Hi. A couple of years ago, you had a Republican politician from Wisconsin on, and I asked him about why medical marijuana at least wasn't legal in this country. And he said that because it's not federally recognized yet as legal, that they didn't want to do that, but yet isn't heroin and fentanyl, don't they have the same derivative? And yet fentanyl is legal and it's killing people, but as far as I know, marijuana doesn't do anything.
Lori, thank you for that. And Lori pointing out that the federal and state, you know, marijuana policy gap that is also widening here, mm-hmm. Lee Hanna.
Yes, that's a great question and a great comment. So back in the 70s, the Controlled Substances Act was passed and it put marijuana on the same schedule of drugs called Schedule One with other drugs that have no medical use and are highly addictive. So it's on the same schedule as heroin and LSD and, you know, some of these other really strong drugs. And that has continued to make this this evolution of medical cannabis really challenging. And it's what most kind of proponents point to as maybe the quickest fix in marijuana policy would be to move to reschedule cannabis. And it matters for a few reasons. One, it makes medical research really expensive and almost totally prohibitive because you have to have special Schedule One licensing. You have to pay for all of these extra security protocols. You can only get cannabis until very recently from one federal farm in Mississippi. So for all those reasons, we have very little kind of gold standard medical research like we do for most medications, most vaccinations, you know, et cetera. So that's one problem. And then the other problem is just as states do legalize the use of marijuana, they are running in the face of federal law. And so the Obama administration, through a few ways that they directed their Department of Justice, really did allow states to add more regulations and have more control and have less fear of federal intervention. But they didn't do anything to really institutionalize that. And it still means that our whole cannabis world is kind of on this unsure legal footing. Oh. Even Clarence Thomas made a comment about this. He recently in a decision said that federal policies of the last 16 years have greatly undermined its reasoning. The federal government's current approach is half in, half out regime that simultaneously tolerates and forbids local use of marijuana. Mm-hmm. In some ways, he's even questioning old precedents around cannabis laws and whether the court should revisit it.
Lee Hanna with us, Associate Professor of Political Science at Wright State, studying marijuana legalization in the U.S., explaining this kind of limbo and policy gap. Marijuana regulation in Wisconsin, where do you want to take the policy conversation on cannabis? 800-642-1234. Back in a minute for more State Cap here on the Ideas Network. It is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're talking about where you want to take the cannabis question in Wisconsin. Join in with your take on medical and recreational marijuana, 800-642-1234. We have Associate Professor of Political Science at Wright State University. Lee Hanna is with us for about 9 more minutes. So, Lee, we're talking there about what's happening at the federal level and how that impacts state policies. And the Congressional Research Service, they just issued this report a few weeks ago that basically said, look, Congress has 4 options available to deal with this federal-state policy gap. One is do nothing. 2, strict enforcement of the federal prohibition. Or 3, you know, make these modest changes to protect state markets. Or 4, go full on federal legalization. What do you think? What direction makes sense at this point?
The direction I predict seems to be do nothing.
What's behind door number one? Well, inaction.
yes, that tends to be the answer in most cases. They have some modest efforts that have made their way, through the House at different points and have kind of stalled out at that point. When they talk about modest ways to kind of protect this industry, there's a couple of major concerns. One is related to banking and finance. Because of federal prohibition, it makes getting into this industry a very it creates all kinds of challenges that other entrepreneurs just do not face. Everything from the inability to write off certain expenses for the business, as well as just issues with using credit cards, issues with using banks, using accounting services, everything kind of streams down from that. And mm-hmm. So that's one of the major challenges. And then second, there are just a number of issues about this situation we see ourselves in, where we have this legacy of the war on drugs, which has radically altered tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people's lives. And at the same time, we have, people cashing in on legal marijuana here in 2022. And, so that kind of hypocrisy and that challenge has really come forward as well. And so what do you do about expunging records, for example? What do you do about giving second chances to people who would maybe want to get into this industry but are prohibited because of state laws about, past records? Mm-hmm. What do you do about communities that have been harmed by the war on drugs? And so a lot of that has been worked into some of these new ways that states and especially progressives are thinking about cannabis as we move forward.
Let's take another call now. Matt is with us from Janesville. Matt, hi. What's on your mind?
I'd like to excerpt to talk about Wisconsin-specific OWI laws and operating with restricted controlled substances laws with medical marijuana, because the active substance in marijuana can stay in your bloodstream for more than 12 hours. Wisconsin, I think it's a little bit different because there's a zero tolerance level. Traffic.
And Matt, you're breaking up. Can you still hear us?
I can still hear you. Yep.
Okay, good. So you're wanting to look at that intersection between our driving under the influence law restrictions and, regarding medical marijuana usage, especially if we have a zero tolerance type of policy. Where can you take that, Lee Hannah?
Yeah, it's a great question. I would say two of the biggest kind of public health concerns pushing against marijuana legalization. One is teenage use and teenage access. And I would say studies on the whole have shown that there hasn't been a major increase in teen use, but it's still something that researchers are tracking. And then the second is kind of these broader questions for law enforcement about how to deal with OVIs, how to deal with kind of the changing landscape of marijuana law. And I'm sure that this probably is most challenging in some of the border towns where they're running right up against either recreational or medical cannabis and, kind of how to deal with that. And that's still something I think that is in process in terms of both where the research is and kind of understanding this, but also just some technological questions and constitutional questions about how you can, both ensure public safety, but also have appropriate data, related to, someone who has, maybe under the influence of cannabis.
Talking with Lee Hannah, political scientist from Wright State University, looking at the marijuana legalization and what he's seen with states around the country. Lee, I want to talk about what happened here last month. Republican lawmakers, they hold this 5-hour public hearing on a medical marijuana measure, but the legislative session has adjourned for the year. Still, this was first time since Republicans took control of the legislature in 2011, any type of marijuana legalization measure has received a public hearing. How important is public testimony?
Yes, I think it's really critical to at least open the door to this conversation. And I think one thing you do see, and I really followed Ohio's law closely and talked with some legislators about that, is that in many cases, even though people are kind of aware that it's popular and aware that it's a growing policy, some of the real details people don't really think about until, you know, maybe they're finally in the room with somebody giving testimonial, whether that's personal testimony about, how medical cannabis has been, effective for them, or just more of your technocratic type of advice about how to make this policy work in a way that, that it will be successful on a number of metrics. I think that is important to hold a hearing. You know, it's hard to know whether it was a real good faith effort to learn more, to come back to this, or if it was just a way to try to diffuse some pressure without any goal of action. But I would say in most states, the medical marijuana conversation occurs over several years, several legislative sessions before it really takes off. And so it's at least a sign that there may be some openness to it.
We only have less than a minute left. Mm-hmm. One thing about this bill, it would create a medical commission to oversee the dispensing of medical marijuana through these qualified primary care providers. How often are states creating like a framework, a regulatory body as part of legalization?
I would say since 2010 and the Obama administration changed some guidance on federal enforcement, that almost every state has come in with more regulations and more of a regulatory apparatus. It often goes to the Department of Health. In Ohio, our Commerce Department, as well as our Pharmacy Department, oversees this. And so there are a number of models out there for how to everything from inspecting the products to regulating kind of how the businesses would come in and bid for licenses and get up and running. All of that has been kind of spelled out, and there are plenty of examples in the dozen or so states that have adopted recently.
Lee, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. This was great.
Lee Hanna is a political scientist from Wright State University, a researcher of marijuana legalization. Just ahead, we speak with a representative from the Wisconsin Pest Control Association. Now that insects are starting to crowd out of their winter homes and into ours, what questions do you have about controlling infestations? 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is the State Capitol Report on The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.